Now for agribusiness news, markets, and weather from Studio C, this is Agriculture Today.
Obviously, the price of oil depends on events that haven't occurred yet. It really depends on where this goes going forward.
Fed Chairman Jerome Powell on Wednesday at a House Finance Committee hearing.
We have seen prices move up, including just in the last couple of days. If you go back 3 months before this incident kind of began, prices are up quite a bit. The effects are going to be passed through into gas prices, into lower economic activity, and into inflation, headline inflation. And, you know, the larger the increase, the larger the effect. But the question then will become, that's a price level change. Is that going to lead to repeated inflation increases at that time? And that is not necessarily the case. And, of course, we would use our tools to make sure that it's not the case.
This is Agriculture Today.
I would say our markets have been functioning well. There's a great deal of liquidity out there. We have now, between our swap lines and our repo facility for other foreign central banks and our standing repo facility in the Treasury market, we have institutionalized liquidity provision. And I think just the knowledge that that is there will help support good market function, which, despite all this volatility, we still have.
Fed Chairman Jerome Powell on Wednesday in front of the House Finance Committee. Pete Sessions is a member of that committee from Texas.
I believe that what we need is your robustness, not just your acumen in these issues, and your robustness within the administration to actually let them know that for this report, monetary policy to be correct, that you believe inflation is a short-term, meaningful hindrance on our economy, they're going to have to make, meaning the White House, policy. They're going to have to understand what caused this. And I think that this administration, I think the Democratic Party, I think this Congress has made friends with inflation to encourage it. And that if your prognostication is going to come forth, that we end this inflation, we're going to have serious changes. Because right now in Texas, which has been relatively open, I don't see relief on the horizon. And I think that this administration, this Congress, has a lot to do with it. So
Sessions actually begs Chairman Powell to speak up.
I would like for your voice in this administration and within halls of Congress, perhaps doors that are shut, for them to understand that they have actually made friends with and are continuing inflation, whether it be with teachers' unions or whether it be with OPM. And we've got to get serious about getting people back to work, because as you tap down the amount of money that is put in the economy, as that moves, going to have to correspondingly have people that come to work, that pay taxes, that move the economy, GDP as a term we used earlier today. It's shifting this big, massive task. So
throw in the Ukrainian crisis, and Representative David Scott from Georgia, chairman of the House Ag Committee, says,
well, I just want to say that we cannot allow the world to get into this desperate situation. So I'm giving this as sort of a Paul Revere moment here. I'm not saying the British are coming, but I'm saying the Russians are already at the door, and they could cause worldwide hunger. And I hope that free nations around the world can come together and realize that this is not just Ukraine's fight. It's our fight. And we have got to win this fight. And hopefully we can get more of our nations to come together and end this situation in Ukraine and Russia before it causes truly a worldwide war.
It's Agriculture Today.
Are you an experienced service technician or diesel mechanic looking for a better opportunity? Consider John Deere. South Plains Implements offering a $10,000 signing bonus for qualified candidates. We pride ourselves in offering the best customer service and advanced training and growth opportunities for our employees. You'll be a part of a stable company with superior earning potential and state-of-the-art service jobs. Visit our careers page at southplainsimplement.com or stop by one of our 14 John Deere locations to apply. South Plains Implement, where farm meets family.
On the phone with Joe Guzman, Director of Sales for Equinom Smarter Sesame. Joe, 2022 is here. You have lots of opportunities in sesame.
That's right, Stephen. We have grain handlers with 2022 agreements ready to be signed. Smarter Sesame makes a great rotational crop for producers who are planning for the new crop and season. With inputs on the rise, Smarter Sesame is a great choice for low input acres.
Joe, if somebody wants to find out more, how can they do that?
They can call 1-833-SESAME or visit equinom.com.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
I say this time and time again as a farmer, a third generation. Food is a national security issue.
Representative Jim Costa from California, a member of the House Ag Committee.
And I think everyone on this committee agrees that our responsibility to ensure that American agriculture remains strong and vibrant, Americans realize that incredible, productive, nutritious food that they consume every night at their dinner table is a result of hard work by farmers, ranchers, dairymen and women, and farm workers. It's a partnership. And so we're very interested in your comments today about how we reset the stage. Obviously, the focus is Title I today. Obviously, there are others, titles in the reauthorization of the Farm Bill that we're going to be clearly listening carefully to your recommendations in terms of modifications and changes.
In a hearing on Tuesday to review the Farm Bill and set the stage for a new Farm Bill, Costa had questions.
Ms. Ford, when we talk about cotton was added on Title I farm programs, you talked about the ARC, the risk coverage and the price loss programs that have worked for producers of seed cotton as compared to how upland was previously treated in Title I programs. Do you care to elaborate any further?
Well, this year with the prices being higher, I don't think a payment would not kick in, but it has worked in the past, and it's more dependent on price than yield, and we use crop insurance for yield protection, but the PLCs worked very well in the past for price protection.
Well, and that's a good segue. I mean, I have crop insurance, and farming, as we all know, is risky enough given the challenges we face. And as I told a previous president one time, I said, you know, farmers are risk takers. So what lessons do you think we should be focused on? Crop insurance, obviously, is a vital part of our safety net. But on what we ought to be thinking about in reauthorization next year's Farm Bill?
I think we need to be thinking about margins as well with the input costs. I think we've got to look at margins and what the crops are costing us to produce.
The comment that I made with the previous, I said farmers are price takers, not price makers. Now, I've been involved in California for years, leading agriculture state in the nation. You all nod your heads when I say farmers are price takers, not price makers, because you know what that means. But how do we look forward in terms of not just the safety net of the insurance program and how we might improve it, but what other, I mean, we have the inflationary impacts that we're all dealing with, of course, and I'm working very heavily on a bipartisan basis on this supply chain issue that we hope will relieve some of those inflationary pressures. But the fact is American agriculture is challenged.
I think it's important for us as farmers. We invest in creating demand for our crop, whatever it is. Farmer investment, we have checkoffs that help do that. But you as a governing body, you know, you give us the tools that we need to make us less risky. Our lenders, that a lot of times young, new farmers don't have opportunities, don't have backing or assets. PLC, ARC, those give those lenders some type of assurance that, hey, we can finance this young grower and he could be profitable.
My time's
less
expired,
risky.
But thank you, Mr. Chairman, and we'll continue this conversation.
It's Agriculture Today.
One of the directors of feedlot operations here at Freona Industries, it's important for us to be partner with people that understand the business and understand the challenges we face. And as we've grown from 4 to 6 to 8 yards, Capital Farm Credit has been there every step of the way. They understand the agriculture industry, understand the ebbs and flows, the trends, the economics, but more importantly, understand the cattle feeding sector and have been extremely good partners for us to work with. And hopefully that partnership gets to solidify even more.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com and texascrp.com, to view many properties we have currently listed in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Give us a call at 800-933-9698 to discuss these properties in detail. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Certainly better than it was the year before.
John Devine is senior economist with Cotton Incorporated and agrees the 2021 crop better than 2020.
You know, the year before we were struggling with a series of weather issues, a lot of dryness, and also a series of hurricanes that we didn't have in the 21 season. So we can be grateful for that. Abandonment rates significantly lower. And that helped bring production up. And even though we've got higher production, we still have these good prices.
Quality was better.
Yeah, quality readings looking really good. So on top of having more bales to sell, we've got a lot of quality bales to sell too. So it's been a good year.
But says today's higher prices are different than 10 years ago.
Last time we take a look at the price spike, it was very fleeting and very steep in terms of its increase and also its decline. This time it's a little bit more slow moving and hopefully has given growers out there a better opportunity to market their cotton at some of these good prices.
So what's the reason behind today's higher prices?
I think you can make it an argument that it's partially demand driven, or at least in terms of, some tightness that's been created by demand. When you take a look at, the major markets around the world, the one that really stands out in terms of their having been some tightening of supply recently, it's the U.S. Last crop year, we saw our stocks get significantly tighter, pulling, even with the tightest stocks-to-use ratios that we've had going back over the past 20 years. So there's an argument that can be made that, there is tightness in U.S. supplies, and that's contributing to the increases that we've seen in prices. And part of the reason why we've had that tightness goes back to the smaller crop we had in the 2021 crop year, and also the strong demand that we had during that crop year as well. We sold a lot of cotton, particularly to China. We doubled our exports to China last crop year, and now that we're seeing other markets get into the action in the current crop year, that's also a factor supporting demand and also could be related to some of the increases that we've seen in cotton prices.
And sure, a weaker dollar will help, but he also says it's not the main reason for the higher prices.
Yeah, so it's a factor that's out there. You take a look at what has been, I think, other factors that contributed to some of the increases in cotton prices. You can take a look at the market sort of as moving in two different legs. I think one leg was the initial recovery from COVID. And that was supported by actions taken by the Federal Reserve and, other stimulus measures that were out there. But if you take a look at the movement in cotton prices from its bottom in late March, early April of 2020 through September of this year, you could see the cotton market moved generally, linearly higher, pretty much in step with the S&P 500. Now, normally you wouldn't expect cotton prices to be so correlated with indexes of stock prices, but given the fact that the stimulus was there and it was unprecedented, I think that did help us move in a relatively linear fashion for, a year or so there. But since then, I think we've been, off to the races. The market's got a lot more volatile. That pulled us up, well over a dollar in the fall. And, I think some of the strength of demand from markets like China helped pull us higher there. Also, the shipping crisis and some of the challenges we've had in getting that cotton to the markets that want it also may have contributed to both the volatility and the strength of prices since September.
It's Agriculture Today.
Every drop counts. Introducing the Patriot 50 Series Sprayer from Case IH that puts every drop of product exactly where you want it. Enhanced LED lights, a cab designed for all-day comfort, and more precise spraying technology. Because just like you, we know every drop counts. Visit your local Wiley implement for details on the new Patriot 50 Series Sprayer.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you don't push yourself, how will you know what you're really made of? Cotton Research and Promotion Program works to develop innovative performance technologies that redefine cotton's capabilities and helps athletes push themselves further. Cotton Incorporated is working hard to educate consumers about cotton's versatility, especially in the athletic apparel market. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton.
This is Agriculture Today.
I want to sound the alarm here this morning. And I want you to listen to me, and I want the nation to, because I'm the chairman of our House Agriculture Committee. And I'm very worried about this turmoil over in Ukraine and Russia's violent, illegal, and criminal action that they're taking, and the impact that this has on global trade, and most importantly, our own food security.
That is the chairman of the House Ag Committee from Georgia, David Scott, on Wednesday, as a member of the House Finance Committee, addressing the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell.
We could very well be on the verge of a hunger crisis all over this world. I want to share with you some research and the nation so we can understand what this Ukraine-Russia situation is causing. Today, Russia alone is producing more than two-thirds of the 20 million metric tons of fertilizer used to grow corn and wheat around the world. One country producing 66% of the fertilizer that is needed. And when you combine Ukraine and Russia, also, these are the two largest exporters of wheat, corn, and barley, producing a quarter of the world's wheat in these two countries, making this impact a crisis of soaring magnitude when you have this much and these two countries are warring each other. So I want to sound the alarm on this. I want to ask you this question. I want to ask you, Chairman Powell, the disruptions and rising prices from these commodities will destabilize global food markets and threaten our food stability and social stability. So my question to you, Mr. Chairman Powell, to what extent could these developments create a financial stability risk here at home and abroad? And what must we do? We can go without a lot of things in this world, but the one thing we cannot go without is food. And when you have this much power on our food security for the world in the hands of these two countries warring each other at this time, what can you do about it?
Sir, I think your point is very well taken, and I think you know, it's shipping, it's corn, it's wheat, as you pointed out, it's fertilizer. And we see that getting into food prices and into the food supply just in these early days after the sanctions have been put in place and the war less than 2 weeks old now. The Fed doesn't really have the tools to address this. This is really a matter for Congress and the administration, I think. But you're right to call attention to it, and I do think that this is understood and understood that things that help will be needed here.
It's Agriculture Today.
Now is the time to sell. Demand for used equipment is high, and Purple Wave Auction can help you reach the largest community of online buyers. Whether you have a single item or an entire fleet, Purple Wave Auction offers a hassle-free way to sell your equipment. Visit purplewave.com. Straight, simple, sold.
Aqua Yield regional agronomist Dr. Tracy Carrillo talks about using NanoPro to improve your burn down.
NanoPro is a nanoliquid technology that grabs the molecules of your burn down herbicides. It enhances the delivery of your herbicides, making them more efficient. You oftentimes see a 3-to-1 return on investment. This will stretch your chemical use up to 30%, which means you're saving more money, especially with the availability and volatility of chemicals these days.
Find out more at aquayield.com.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
From the outside looking in, I've had this conversation with many of your colleagues and many farmers. Historic prices. Prices and margin, two different things.
That's Representative Rick Crawford from Arkansas. He's a member of the House Ag Committee. And in a hearing on Tuesday, questioning reference prices.
So for people who don't play a role in ag policy but ultimately benefit from it, I think we need to get a little bit of perspective here because inflation hits everybody, certainly hitting production costs on the farm, and that's hitting you and your bottom line. So I think it's important that the American people recognize that if you're just looking at prices, you're not getting the full picture of what it takes to put food on the shelves, and that's exacerbated by supply chain issues that we're seeing. And then, of course, as has been mentioned numerous times throughout this hearing thus far, what's taking place in Ukraine right in front of our eyes in real time and how that's impacting, particularly I would think wheat is maybe the most volatile and vulnerable in this scenario. But I think all of you and your producers that you represent are vulnerable to what's taking place around the world. And I think one of the things that we can do to be more proactive in this equation is to turn back on our domestic energy production and make us energy independent. Not only can we address our own needs, this addresses potentially the fertilizer issue that's come up, and I'd like to associate myself with the comments of Mr. Austin Scott. But this also addresses our ability to be a net exporter and actually help Europe in a more material way and Ukraine in a more material way. So I hope that your producer groups are conveying that message as well. We certainly are here. Let me shift gears and direct a question to Mr. Doyle. And the soy belt, if you will, I guess, is largely associated with states like Iowa and Illinois and Missouri, Nebraska, and others. But Arkansas is actually home to considerable soybean production, and of course, that's where you live and where I live. And I just kind of wanted to get you to provide a little bit of perspective on the soy growing region throughout the United States and kind of where some of the most active areas are.
So, yes, we are. If you could picture North Dakota down to Texas, over to Florida, and up to New York, and back again, with the exception of West Virginia, that's where the 30 primary soybean growing areas are. You have within that, you have about 65% that is shipped through the Gulf of Mexico down the Mississippi River. You have about 20-25% that travels by rail from the northern states to the Pacific Northwest and are offloaded on the West Coast. And then you have some in Virginia nearby. And the St. Lawrence Seaway is now being looked at as an alternative route for shipping due to the container shortage. So it's about 3.1 million acres in Arkansas. I believe we are number 9. And it's
interesting, and on the FFA seal, corn is represented there as a universal, and that may be true. And it's to all respect to our corn growers, but I would think soybeans probably are almost universal as well, wouldn't you?
So yes, we are. We ship soybeans all over the world. It was primarily feedstock. Now the oil market is driving the price, and it's a great thing.
Arkansas Representative Rick Crawford. It's Agriculture Today.
For years, Texas cotton growers have had a trusted partner when it comes to choosing their varieties. Next Gen brand cotton seed from AmeriCotton. Next Gen varieties bred specifically for West Texas growers have performed year after year, even in harsh conditions. And for this year's season, there are several new BollGuard 3 Extend Flex varieties available. Contact your local Next Gen representative or dealer today to learn more about varieties suited for your needs. Next Gen, your West Texas partner for performance cotton seed.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turn roads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
AMS called the Fed cattle market at 143 for the week. For context, the April live cattle contract ended at about 142. So basis is, you know, roughly where we'd expect it to be. But that April contract was down $4 on the week, almost all that on Thursday. I'm not going to make a Russia comment every time I speak this morning, but definitely the volatility started on Thursday.
It's Kansas State livestock economist Dr. Glenn Tonser.
Dodge City feeder cattle market, AMS called it. Very, very mixed. So the lighter weights, so think six weights and under, were up. The heavy weights were down. And two specific lots were very 69 head, weighing 654, sold for 173, and 308 head, weighing 823, sold 157. Round that out, we look over the board. March feeder cattle closed about 160, down a little bit more than $5 on the week. Again, most of that pullback was on Thursday. I made some notes here. I'm sure my colleague Dan O'Brien is going to talk at length about what's going on in the grain markets. That's maybe the most direct immediate effect from what's going on in Russia-Ukraine. But the grain markets got rocked. Lots of volatility, particularly Thursday pullback, and then some recovery on Friday. Lots of uncertainty about exactly what's going on there. I highlight that because the initial and immediate impact for livestock producers is feed cost uncertainty. We'll come back to some other concerns I have on that front. The cutout also had an odd experience this past week. So we closed Friday with a $3 spread between choice and select. So 258 on choice, select was 255. Both are down from the prior Friday. The point I'm highlighting is on Tuesday, we actually had that market invert, and it was just for a brief time. Select was $2 premium to choice. I took note, I think it was on Twitter, I said 14 times. There's been 14 days that's happened before, so it's not the first time it's happened, but it's not the norm. I mean, there's some anomalies underneath that, relative volumes and the like. We do not expect that to persist, and it was a one-day event. The final thing here, just kind of a state of what happened this past week on the processing numbers. The estimates through Saturday was 647,000. We were about 660 the week before, 665 the same week the year before. Don't overreact to that. We actually expect to be down a little bit. Year-to-date, cattle's down almost 0.5%. And we're expecting basically for that negative compared to the year before to continue and grow as the year goes on. And for quick context on meat supplies, year-to-date hog slaughter's down about 8%. So one of the reasons we have improving livestock prices going into this week at least is their supply side support.
Talking about that lackluster cattle on feed report.
Yeah, and I've said this before, sometimes that's exactly what we want, and if there was ever a week where we wanted a non-event report, it would be this one, given what else is going on. So yes, the cattle on feed report did not have major surprises. So February 1st on feed up 1% compared to February of 21. January marketing's down 3%. January placement's down 1%. And, you know, my notes here, they were well right on line with the pre-report expectations. I don't think they were market movers. And in many ways, by the time you and I are talking here, the market's already moved on from that report. So, yes, it is okay to have a vanilla report at times, and we definitely had one this month.
And what about domestic demand?
The latest demand info I have domestically from USDA-based information would be for the month of December. And there was a small pullback compared to November, but yet was still well above where we were in 2020. The punchline there would be as we ended 2021, every month between August and December, above where we were in 2020. So beef demand as a whole domestically was stronger than it was in 2020 as we ended 2021. And export demand, the same statement holds, just for more months. So we started the year in a good place. The domestic concerns about inflation, what that does to buying power in particular, are still there. The spillover effects of oil price uncertainty and what that might do to buying power, go back to the Russia-Ukraine thing as well. There was already concerns on that front. This has just magnified it. So uncertainty throughout society, it's not even just the beef market here, right? Uncertainty on all fronts has certainly been elevated in the last 4 days.
It's Agriculture Today.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
What can you get for 2 cents these days? How about new, more efficient wheat varieties? Better market access for Texas wheat producers and increased demand to your product. Each year, the Texas Wheat Producers Board achieves these goals by investing producer contributions to promote wheat through research, education, and market development. Who knew 2 cents could be so valuable? A message from the Texas Wheat Producers Board.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
With big actions like this, there may well be unintended and unexpected effects, and hard to say what those might be. In the economic sphere, you're seeing, not directly to your question, but we're seeing, you know, concerns over palladium and neon and corn and wheat, shortages of those potentially.
Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell on whether there could be unintended consequences on sanctions against Russia.
So it would be difficult to say exactly what the effects could be over time. The United States, our financial institutions and our economy do not have large interactions with the Russian economy. It's a relatively small thing, and it's gotten smaller and smaller in recent years. So there wouldn't be, you know, direct effects from these kind of things on the U.S. economy. It's hard to think what the second order effects might be.